Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Welcome to the Expressway with your host, Charles Show Me the Way, and my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are here with you again another week, looking into our New York Giants and Jets football teams, as well as what's going on in the world of sports today. This week, we lost a good dear, maybe not so great, safety in Julian Love. I don't think that that's just a big deal, but we did pick up a new safety. We got a new safety. That's what we're going to talk about. We're also going to actually hit on some of the draft prospects out there that we think the Giants should look at and possibly draft. This week, we're going to look at the wide receiver position, the linebacker position, and the quarterback position for our Jets, especially if they do not eventually or ever sign Aaron Rodgers, who is leaving Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets in limbo because they don't know what to do. But what do you say about that situation, BT? Because that is wild. That should have been done. And I don't know what they're taking so long for.
Well, I think what happens is that the only team that he dealt with was the New York Jets. And see, he kind of alienated other teams. And, you know, I think with the owner of the Jets flying out there with the coach and everybody that fly out to California to talk to him, I think what happened was that he kind of lessened the value, and the Green Bay Packers want two first round draft choices, and the Jets may only get them at the most 2 years, you know, and then why give up two first round draft choices for 2 years? That would set your team back. And if you don't get Rodgers, you got to find somebody to step in because you don't have a quarterback. So it's already been shown, as you've shown, you and I have shown over the weeks, that if you don't have a quarterback, you really don't have a chance unless you, perform some kind of crazy miracle like the Baltimore Ravens did against you guys in 2000 when they went with Trent Dilfer, and then they cut him the next year. So it's a tough situation. The Jets are putting all their eggs in one basket, and I don't know if you can deal with, you know, all your eggs in one basket.
Absolutely. When you look at what the compensation is going to be, I mean, given that Green Bay has already said that they are moving on from Aaron Rodgers and they're going with the Love kid as their next quarterback, then they don't have too much leverage over the Jets, because the Jets are like, why am I going to give up two first round picks for a guy that may play 2 years? I don't even know if you give up a first round pick unless it's a swap. You can probably swap positions because it's a high, they have a higher value this year. That may be the solution, but I don't see them actually losing a first-round pick for a guy that has already told you he doesn't want to play with you, and you've already told the world that you don't want him playing for your team. So what do you think the compensation should be for someone like Aaron Rodgers?
Well, see, you have to understand, this is a Hall of Fame quarterback. This is a guy who's won, I think, four MVPs in the league. He's won one Super Bowl, so I think all he needs is the talent around him to be good, and the Jets fit that mold totally. So what I see is possibly a first-round draft choice. They're going to have to do that, at least one, because, you know, you don't give up a quarterback that good without one at least. So I feel if they can give him a one and maybe a third round, and then maybe take $10,000 or $10 million of that $50 million and make the Jets only pay $40 million. I know that probably won't happen, but if you think about it, the Jets are in the driver's seat. Now, can they negotiate quickly enough to get Rodgers to the mini camps and the offseason training to deal with his receivers? And see, the thing about it is the guy Love, the backup quarterback to Rodgers, they say he's improving tremendously. And I think this is his fourth year being behind Rodgers, that he should be able to take the team and even show better things. Because with the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, he has shown people that if you work on your game as a quarterback, you can improve tremendously, but you got to put the effort in. And so that's what Rodgers has to do with this young Jet club. But he's got to do it soon, because if you don't work with your people, he showed last year that it hurts your team if you don't have offseason togetherness from a wide receiver to a quarterback system.
I think it's especially so given the dynamics and how there's a youth movement at the Jets. And if Aaron Rodgers comes to that team, he's going to have to acclimate himself to that environment, because the one thing everybody talked about last year about the Jets and why they were having the type of success that they were having is because they had a close-knit relationship with that young, good core group of skill guys on the offense. Outside of Zach Wilson, everybody else got along. They love playing with one another. And I think for him, in order for him to kind of ingratiate himself to that culture that they're trying to create at the Jets, I think it's imperative that he gets there for the offseason program, the OTAs, so that he knows who he is or who they are, and they know who he is. Because if that doesn't happen, I think there may be in for some rude awakening come the season, because obviously, you know, there's conflict, there's challenges in every season. And if you can develop a strong bond during the offseason, it makes it that much easier when conflict and struggles come during the season.
And the reason I agree with you totally, Charles, is because you go back to Pop Warner, you go back to high school, the teams that do the best are the teams who have things together and have worked on their system. I mean, I remember when I was in high school in Texas, we practiced too much, but it made us win. And we were one of the top teams in Texas in high school. And then I go to Texas Tech, same thing, you go to the University of Virginia. We work out a lot. There was no stipulation on how much you work out. And we had a great team. We went to 3 out of 4 bowl games. Then I come to the Giants my first year. They didn't have togetherness in the offseason. And I could see them right away. And the coach got fired. He was the coach name. His name was John McVay. He coached. He was the general manager of the 49ers. His grandson is the head coach of the L.A. Rams. And he put it together. But when he first came to the Giants, they had no togetherness. So I totally believe in the training part of it, of being together. Even if you are just hanging out, you know, having a beer together, that brings camaraderie. And I think Rodgers he's backed up on that, because they showed last year it doesn't work if the quarterback doesn't show up until August.
Absolutely. Hopefully that situation gets worked out. Now, to the other side of New Jersey and the Giants, you know, they've lost a couple of quality veteran free agents. I don't know if they're game-changing free agents, and I think they're all replaceable. Feliciano, even though he had been solid the last couple of years he played, but he was injury-riddled. And then they lost Julian Love. He was a good veteran presence. I don't know if he was the safety that they needed. I'm curious to see how Bobby McCain comes in, who they just signed, who played for Washington last year, how he can improve on the position. So I'm curious to see if he can come in and be more of a dynamic playmaking safety that you see nowadays. What do you think about that? How do you think he could fit into this team and actually show some improvement in the position?
Well, one of my good friends used to play at the Giants. His name is Beasley Reese. He plays safety and I played running back. So he kind of, because we were roommates on the road, he kind of taught me the safety position. And I thought Love was adequate, but the new guy, McCain, coming in, he's a 7-year veteran. They say he started a lot of games, maybe 15 out of 16 games last year and the year before with Washington. He's been around the NFL. He knows what's going on. They tell me this is an upgrade over Love. If that's true, then the Giants are exactly where they want to be from a defensive back standpoint. You need to, they know what they want, because this coaching staff is a coaching team. I mean, they teach the players how they want them to play, and which I really enjoy, and a lot of other coaches should do that. But this guy McCain, they say, is going to be a leader on the defensive side. He's going to put people in the right position. And the strong safety is the main part of your team. Those safeties, you know, they're the ones who communicate with each other and keep everybody on the same page. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play because it's one of the needs that the Giants have upgraded. And if you do make a move and get rid of somebody, you got to have somebody come in that's better or equal to what you have. And I think this guy, McCain, Bobby McCain, formerly of the Washington Redskins and another team, I think he's going to come in and do a tremendous job, Charles.
That's awesome. And what do you think their other pressing need that they need to address in free agency and not wait till the draft? Is there another position? Because you do have – you lost a couple of offensive linemen. Nick Gates, Feliciano are gone. So you lost veteran backups that were crucial because obviously you need backups because of injury. And they still haven't addressed truly the linebacker position.
I definitely think they need another offensive lineman because – I think you need somebody in there that's – well, Arthur Thomas is great, but I think you need somebody else in there also. The rookie from Alabama, I think his second year is going to be better than his first year. Mm-hmm. But I think that they can get another offensive lineman to play guard or even center possibly, and you need a backup. You always need good offensive linemen because they seem to always get hurt, and everybody in the league seems like they need an offensive line. Mm-hmm. But I also think that they need one more linebacker, and they need somebody who's a star, you know, somebody like can come in and what I attribute things is that on defense, Charles, you can have nine guys make a mistake and then the one guy come in and be the hero and make the tackle.
That's right.
Because when I play with LT, he would do that. Right. I mean, like it would be Litter Marshall maybe getting blocked. It might be George Martin getting blocked, but then LT would come in and be the hero. Yeah. Offense, you can't do that. Offense, everybody's got to be on the same page at the same time. And I think from the Giants' standpoint, you know, they if they get somebody on defense who can make tackles sideline to sideline or at least make big plays, then I think right. It's going to improve their team tremendously.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What gets me about the linebacker position, I like Okereke. I just don't but he doesn't – I mean, he's like the hybrid safety linebacker type position where, I mean, if you're good – if they run into the sidelines, but you don't know how good he is from tackle to tackle, right? You know, so that was the Ray Lewis style where, all right, you can't come in here. I got you, right? And he was fast enough to get sideline to sideline, but the middle was their territory. You didn't run in the middle. You had to run outside, right? And so I think they need – I know the position is changing. Everybody's doing RPOs. Everybody's doing run play – run pass option. And so you got to be a little bit mobile in the backfield, but you still got to be tough and stout and be able to stop the run. And I think they just need one more guy or dog that could solidify that linebacker core. Like I said, I like the Okereke signing. But I think you need one more veteran presence, or if they can find them in the draft, and we'll go over the linebacking position in the draft here a little later. But if they can find somebody that could be that dog, I mean, that would be amazing.
Well, see, what I like is that the Giants are looking at what they need and they're fixing it. You know, you see some coaches that draft for different things, but the Giants last year showed me that they know how to coach. So now you got to bring in the players that you like. And I think the Giants are doing this whole offseason. They're signing free agents. They're signing kids who didn't get drafted who are still good. And so I like the way that they're going about it. That's what I like. But before we go to the break, just want to ask you one question. You mentioned Ray Lewis. And I always had a problem with Ray Lewis because Harry Carson, who's who I played with, and he was, I think, a Hall of Fame linebacker for the Giants who really played well. But see, I watched – even when I watched you guys in the Super Bowl – Ray Lewis had no knee pads, had no thigh pads. I've never seen a linebacker do that, and so I tried to study it. And the reason he didn't have any pads is because he had two defensive tackles, Saragusa and some other guy, that did not let anybody touch him. And he ran sideline to sideline, and you were right there with him. Tell me your thoughts.
No, that's what you had. They had that prototypical 3-4 defense, and those Saragusa and I forget the other guy that was with him. They didn't get touched. I mean, and that's when they didn't call holding on defensive line too, because they were holding the mess out of guards, right? I mean, they would lock them up, they two gap, locked them up, and they wouldn't move. And so he loved them. I mean, Baltimore had a great, great, great defense during that.
Yes, era. They did. Yes, they did.
So and they were playing within the rules. or they didn't call it. Like, there wasn't a such thing as defensive holding when you played the Ravens, because you knew the nose tackle and the two DNs, they were holding every play. Because their defensive line coach said, hey, don't let anybody touch these guys. And they did. And they could have called a penalty on every play. Perfect. You're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We're going to come back and look at the 2023 draft prospects for the New York Giants. We're going to look at the wide receiver position and the linebacker position, and we will look at the quarterback position just in case the Jets are thinking about drafting a new quarterback again this year. We'll be right back in a moment. And we're back with the Expressway. I'm Charles Way. I'm here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We just got finished talking about the free agents, comings and goings for the Jets and the Giants. Now we're about to talk and take a look at the 2023 NFL draft prospects for the New York Giants at the wide receiver position. And obviously, we may not have an option to get this guy, but I think I wanted to at least touch on him, because you can always dream, right? Yep. And probably the number one receiver in the draft, and probably get drafted before the Giants are drafted at number 25, is Jordan Addison from USC.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
This kid is amazing, right? He was in almost a pro-style offense as it is. The number one transfer went to USC, probably got buku bucks to go to USC, right? He may take a pay cut coming to the NFL with that USC donor money, but the man is a stud. He's quick, he's fast, he can stretch the field, he can make you miss, he's a deep threat. He's a big play player. And I think when you look at him, I mean, he does all of the things you want a star wide receiver to do, especially at a top five pick.
Well, the thing that I kind of concerned myself with is he's going to be taken off the board really early. So I really don't think the Giants have a chance at him, because he's going to be picked before number 25. Now, mm-hmm. What I look at on him is that how he runs the route. And we had talked before about the Giants cut their Kenny, their receiver, that free agent receiver that they had, Kenny Galladay.
Yeah.
And see, I watched him. He does. And I cannot believe it that someone like that, been in the league 8 years, can't run a route. I mean, what I believe is that the receiver knows where he's going. The defensive back doesn't. You set the defensive back up all the time. This guy from USC, from the moment I watched him, he knew how to run a route. And if you have someone who is where he's supposed to be on time every time and can use head fakes and has a threat to go deep, and Stephen Baker told me a long time ago, once you beat him deep, you got him all day. You can throw everything underneath. And I think whoever gets this guy, their offense is going to be improved. And that's what I want the Giants to get, somebody like this who can make people scared when they play him. And so that's why I think the Giants have to find somebody like that. I know they got decent receivers, but I don't think anybody's, you know, going to make all pro right now. So that's why I hope the draft or free agency or a trade brings the Giants, because you know they already got Darren Waller of the Raiders, who's definitely going to help the Danny Jones and the entire Giants offense. So if they can get a receiver, that means it opens up the whole field, and this might be an exciting Giants offense that we haven't seen in a few years.
Absolutely. I think you're going to see a common theme to the three receivers we're going to look at today. It's like someone that can make a big play, someone that can be very explosive and can stretch the field and has that quickness that will just be that game-breaking type of receiver. This next guy from Tennessee is Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee. I think he had his breakout game against Alabama where he just kind of destroyed. They couldn't stop him. I mean, no matter what they did, they couldn't stop him. And you know Nick Saban likes to take away your go-to receiver, right? Because he's a defensive mastermind. But this dude just broke out. Everybody is like, man, this is like a dude. And you can see him stretch the field. He's a bigger receiver. He's maybe not as quick as Jordan Addison, but he's more along the line of those physical receiver. Remember Terrell Owens type of receiver?
Yep.
He's more along the lines of I can beat you off the line of scrimmage physical or with my quickness, but you're not going to be able to tackle me because I'm big, strong, and physical. And I think this may be a guy that's on the board at 25.
Well, see, what I like is when receivers get doubled, what do? For instance, like you talked about Saban taking away people, Belichick does the same thing. He takes away receivers, makes you your main receiver, and it makes you look other parts of the field. What I was blown away with was that he runs a good route even when he's double teamed, Charles. And so that's why I think that it's going to be something that's going to be outstanding for everybody, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. This, like I said, this kid brings, because you think about it, you got Wandale Robinson, you got Shepherd back, you got Hodgins, you got all of these guys that are possession receivers. Wandale Robinson is your quick guy, can beat you off the line of scrimmage, can do the nice quick passes, perfect for RPOs. But you need somebody to stretch the field and go out and get that ball. You need, like, the receivers that we've had, Plaxico Burress, Samani Toomer, those guys were big, not very agile or quick coming off the line of scrimmage, but were big possession receivers and can go get it. And I think what Jalin brings is that type of receiver that can go get it, can beat the double team. And hey, Eli did it. I'm just going to close my eyes and throw the ball and hope you catch it, right? But he had big receivers. That he did that with Amani Toomer, and he did it with Plex. He just say, hey, I don't want to get hit. Just threw the ball up, and they would come down with it. And so I think this would be a good guy for that.
Well, see, what I look at also, Charles, is the 50-50 ball. And what I mean by that is that when a receiver is one-on-one, he doesn't have double coverage, and the quarterback has faith in him that if he throws it up to him, he's going to go get it at least 50% of the time. I think we need somebody like that because, you know, I don't like to see quarterbacks throw in double coverage at all. I don't think if you throw two people around you, that's your fault as a quarterback if you get an interception. And Danny Jones has improved on that. He did a few times last year, so I did see him getting better at that. But I think this receiver corps that we have for the Giants, I agree with you that they need one person to be able to make people scared. And I think the Raiders' philosophy, and I always believed in that, you throw the bomb early, then it kind of puts people in place because then they're wary of getting beat. That's the worst thing that can happen to a defensive back is to get beat deep, and they're scared of that. So I think this guy can come in and do the 50-50 ball. He got great jumping abilities. You need someone with vertical leap. And I think the Giants have a chance to get somebody like that because of the way they're going about it. If you think about it, this is the best way that the Giants coaching staff has done things in a long time as far as going get players and fitting the players, you know, around and not just have a system and then you fit into it. And I like the way they're doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like I said, any of these receivers we're talking about, I think obviously they would have to move up to get Addison, which I don't know if is probably worth it. But this next guy, Quentin Johnston from TCU, very explosive, was part of that TCU powerful impact, high-powered offense. And he started off slow, maybe not as quick as your Wandale Robinson. He's not definitely not a Jordan Addison, but he's that possession receiver you're talking about. He can make plays down the field. He may not be as explosive as those other two guys we talked about, but he showed out for TCU. He did what he had to do to help TCU, and he was one of their go-to receivers that made plays, made the wild catch, and did the things that they needed to do to have a chance at a national championship last year.
Well, I like Texas Christian University. You know, they were in our conference when I went to Texas Tech, and then they put all the teams in different places. But I like him because he's consistent. He's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. If the quarterback needs you at 14 yards, you don't need to be at 12 yards or 17 yards. You got to be at 14 yards. And so I think he's one of those receivers you can rely on. And if the quarterback sees somebody that is consistent and is always there, he can depend on him. He can throw it where, you know, even without seeing him, he can throw it because he knows he'll be there. And if he's not, if he doesn't catch it, he'll knock it down so the defensive back will not catch it. So I think he's a receiver. But the Giants have a few of those that are possession types. So I don't know if he'd be a good receiver for the Giants, but I don't think he'd be one to take over. So I need someone to take over. You know, you can say, well, listen, you get it to him, we got a chance. And so I got to look at somebody else because I know he's a possession receiver, but the Giants have a few of those already, Charles.
Yeah, I think he's more of a second, third, fourth round pick if you decide to pick a receiver and he's on the board. I think this next position is probably if you don't have a Jordan Addison on the board, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, I don't think Jalen Hyatt or Quentin Johnson is a Jordan Addison. At 25, wide receiver isn't the best position left on the board. I'm hoping that one of these linebackers we're about to talk about is the best position on the board, i.e. Ivan Pace from Cincinnati. This dude was all over the field last year, and he was why Cincinnati had a good season last year. I mean, he was the leader of that linebacker core at Cincinnati. He made plays. He did the things he had to do to be an impact player. You were talking about being able to run side to side, being impact, being that, hey, this I'm the dog on this defense. This man showed out during the postseason and the end season.
Well, see, the thing for me is that I want somebody with the speed that can cover sideline to sideline because from a fan standpoint, if you're looking at the game, it's one of the most exciting plays in the game for the linebacker to run clear to the other side and make a play. I remember watching Howie Long, who was a defensive lineman for the Raiders, all pro, he's a Hall of Fame. The play goes to the other side and he just stops. There's a lot of players that do that don't, you know, LT was one of the few that didn't stop on any play. And so he's one of those linebackers, the guy you're talking about, he's one of those linebackers that can cover sideline to sideline and will not ever, you know, take a break or take it easy, even though the play is way away from him. So I think that's the kind of player because other players feed off that. And from a linebacker standpoint, he can keep a defense really going with if you play like that.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, absolutely. As you can see in the video, just look at the speed to catch people when they down the field. He's around the ball all the time, making plays, being very disruptive. I'm talking about he has a knack for being around the play, adjusting to the certain situation. He's an excellent blitzer. You know how running backs can take on blocks. I mean, he's powerful. He has impact. Running backs don't want to take him on during the blocks. And we haven't had that. We haven't had someone that running backs are scared to take on when they're blitzing, right? He's making it easy. But I just like the fact that he was a dog when I saw him last year. I'm talking about he was all over the field. He made an impact on their team, and everybody looked at him to make the play. What have you seen?
Well, see, the thing that I like is that he stirs up the bowl a little bit. He gets everybody going because if someone's passing you up on a tackle, like for instance, you're going to get a tackle, and then some other guy comes in and just blasts the guy. that kind of fires everybody up. And you need somebody on defense that can do that. And I think he's that kind of player. And I don't think the Giants had that in the last couple of years. I like Martinez before he left, but we're going to see what they do. But so you need someone in there who can, like if guys are not feeling their best, he makes them get to their best. There's only certain players do that, that bring out the best in people. And I think he's that kind of player, the kind of linebacker. So I would hope the Giants can get somebody like that at 25, but it's going to be a tough situation because everybody else is watching film and they see how good he is also. So people try to keep it quiet so that you don't know what they're doing, but everybody knows what kind of player he is, sideline to sideline.
You're absolutely right. And we're going to hold on for that right there because we are not done yet. We got two more linebackers to go through, plus three more quarterbacks to see if the Jets are planning, especially if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, if the Jets will take these quarterbacks. But hang on, we got two more. You'll be happy to know two more exciting linebackers that we're going to go over for this upcoming draft. But we'll be right back after a moment. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We have just taken you through some of our top draft picks from the wide receiver position. And we just started our linebacker. We just got finished talking about Ivan Pace from the University of Cincinnati. Our next linebacker, who I think may be a sleeper in the draft, is Jack Campbell from Iowa. You know, if you've been in the league, you know Iowa linebackers. It seems like Iowa linebackers only can play in a phone booth, right, BT? But I think this kid is a little bit different because he's one of those safety hybrids we were talking about. But I'm talking about coming from Iowa, that stereotype is this dude is a tough safety-type linebacker, bro. He will lay the wood on you. Have you had a chance to take a look at him?
Yeah, I like him a lot because he's tough as nails, will not back down from anybody, and will hit anybody. You get in his way, he's going to do that. The only thing I kind of worry about is that, you know, the NFL these days, they're cutting down on some of the hits that they used to have back in the 70s and 60s and stuff when those guys used to kill people, and which I like they're doing that. So I think that he's going to have to be careful on not killing anybody out there because he's one of those tough guys that just likes to hit anybody that's in his way. And that's kind of like the making of an Iowa linebacker. They're usually, you know, between the tackles and the guards and always making headway that way. So I think he's a good kind of an inside linebacker, but I probably, you know, need somebody with more speed. He right. Definitely can play, but from a linebacker standpoint, I've always looked at people with quickness because, like, right. you got to be able to take on and beat the guards and the tackles and use your ability as an athlete to be able to do that. So I don't know if he's in that process yet, but then, you know, sometimes you don't know till they get to the NFL.
Yeah, but I think his history is like he started at safety and kind of moved down in the box. So I think he has an understanding of coverages, being defensive back, and hopefully have an understanding of routes. And that knowledge plays a long way, especially if you listen to how Wink Martindale played last year. He played a lot of zone with his linebackers. So being able to know spots, I think what they had him do in Iowa, allows him to do some of that stuff. Like I said, this dude, I think you might be able to get him at two, but if people are looking for linebackers, impact linebackers, I mean, he may not make it past two. And so that's why I'm thinking this would be a good pick, especially if you don't have an offensive lineman or a wide receiver that you want. I mean, this is a position that a guy that may be one that to take a look at.
Well, but see, the Giants last year surprised me on defense with Wink Martindale. I thought he was a really great defensive coordinator. I'm glad the Giants kept him, and they got the same people coming back this year. So I'm excited about that. And I think he's going to put people in the right position to be able to make plays and to help the team. So I think they're looking at everything, who can help the Giants? Who can do this? I love a linebacker who studies the game and knows the ins and out cuts of receivers. Because if you look at a wide receiver in the slot, he tries to get behind the linebacker and then come back toward the middle sometimes. And some of the linebackers get confused. But if you know what a receiver is doing, you study the game and you know he runs, like say on third and less than five, he's going to run that in route behind the linebacker. And then you know where he is. You can stop those plays. I watched some of those teams that went to the playoffs last year, even Cincinnati, Kansas City. They had linebackers to do that. They would take away some of those routes. And I think that you got to study the game. And he seems like that kind of player, because if you got a linebacker that can both play the pass and the run and get in the passing lanes, you got someone who can help your team.
You do. And that's why I think if they can find a good linebacker, and I think these next three guys that we're talking about are positioned to potentially be number one draft pick. This next kid out of Clemson, man, if you watch Clemson this year, this dude was all over the field over Clemson. Trenton Simpson, this dude is a specimen. I mean, he has the speed that you want to cover the pass. He can probably cover tight ends at 6'3". He's big enough to cover tight ends. The dude is rocked up. He had a great combine. He can run sideline to sideline. Maybe he might be a little bit too small, just a tad bit, like weighing under 250. He's about 235 right now, 240. Maybe just a little bit too small to kind of hang with the offensive lineman. But, dude, this guy probably is the most electric linebacker that we're going to be talking about in this year's draft. What do you think?
So you're saying he'll be gone by the Giants' 25th pick.
This dude is electric.
But see, I like that kind of player. I really do. Because, you know, like, say, I always use the analogy that if you were, say, in Czechoslovakia, you'd never seen the game before, and you come out and you watch him play, you say, that guy's a star. And that's what I like. He's that kind of player that you would notice if you didn't know the game of football. And so those are the kind of people that I want the Giants to have. I wish that the Giants can do something to get him, because I think he's the kind of player that can make everybody better. And if you get that kind of linebacker, it helps your team tremendously, and it's going to allow the defensive coordinator to put him in positions to just make people get crazy. So I'm anxious to see what happens, but I just don't think he'll be around when the Giants pick at 25.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The one thing they have going in their favor is he's 235. You know, he's on the small side. And so I don't know how well he can – and you got two guys that aren't very big, because Okereke is, what, 240, 245. He's not very big either. So you got two guys about the same size. And I know the league is changing. I know it's a flag football league right now. you got to be able to cover these tight ends like the Wallers of the world or the Kelseys of the world. But you need some girth, right? You need to have some muscle up in there for the run game, because they do a lot of RPOs and you got to be able to stand up in there because of the RPOs, you linemen are left just to go straight at you. And yep. So you don't, it's not like what we talked about, how Ray Lewis wasn't getting touched, because offense have changed. So the D line can't grab because there might be a pass and you got to put pressure on a QB. So it's very difficult right now, but I like this kid. If he's there, this is one kid that they definitely should strongly consider picking up in the draft.
Oh, I think it would help the Giants tremendously, but I have so much faith right now, Charles, in the Giants coaching staff, that whoever they bring in, they're going to allow them to play up to their potential because of the great teaching methods that their entire coaching staff does. But you know, when Bill Parcells came to the Giants, he came my third year when I was with the Giants, and he brought in linebackers that were tall. You know, he liked 6'4", 6'5", like LT was 6'3", almost 6'4", Harry Carson, even Byron Hunt was 6'5". And so the thing that he liked was that if you get tall linebackers, they can knock down passes, they can read things over the offense. And so now people aren't looking at that as much because they look at speed. If you got a linebacker that can run a 4.5 or less, you can put them in position to really just devastate an offense. So I'm trying to see what the Giants are going to do as far as what type of linebacker they bring in. You need people with quickness and go sideline to sideline, but you need someone who is smart, intelligent, and can look over things and to be able to make plays when they're not to be made.
And that's exactly who Simpson is. He makes plays and he plays a smart game. Now let's talk about the Jets' needs. Really, the biggest priority is fixing their quarterback position. Obviously, they have a bunch of holes to fill based on some of the guys that have left during free agency. But if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, they're going to be right in there in the mix to pick up a quarterback amongst all the other teams that are looking for quarterback. And the number one guy on everybody's list is Bryce Young from Alabama. This kid had an electric year. He won the Heisman last year.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Two years ago.
Yeah. What does he bring to the table that you like about it?
Accuracy. He throws the ball on time. He's accurate with the ball. He's mobile. He has great agility, can throw the ball on the run or stay in the pocket. My only problem is that during the season, he weighed about 190 pounds. I think during the last combine, when they weighed him, he was like maybe 204. I just think you need more weight as a quarterback because everybody's coming at you. You know, you look at Josh Allen, you look at Herbert, you even look at Danny Jones. Those guys are over 6'5". I like that type of quarterback. So I don't know if this, because even the guy for Arizona, the quarterback for Arizona who came out of Oklahoma, won the Heisman Tyler Murray. I don't know if he's shown me that he could lead a team to the championship yet because he's been hurt already. He's not very big. He can't see things. He's not making great decisions. I just don't know yet. And from the Jets standpoint, I don't think you can take that kind of chance if you don't know. They've had two bad situations with the quarterbacks these last 5 years. And if they don't get it right this time, this is going to hurt them.
But I think given his demeanor and the way he's carried himself, especially at Alabama and how they play in – they play in pressure pack games in the SEC every week.
All the time. Right? Yep.
All the time. And so he showed some moxie last year, and especially in the playoffs and how he carried himself during the play. The man played a game and the team looked at him as a leader. And that's what when I look at the quarterback position, you can have all the intangibles you want, but if you're not a leader back there, you very rarely have success at the next level. And that I think that looking at Jalen Hurts and how he's become the type of player that he's become, because you never thought he would be this type of quarterback in the NFL based on his college performance. But he had that intangible, which was the leadership ability.
And the working ability to be able to go out there and work on your game. And he even said it. Before they went into this season, people were talking about he's got to be able to throw the ball better. He worked on that game so much. He was probably one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. Showed me that if you work hard at things, you can get it. And think about it. If you're a quarterback, even if you're a college quarterback, well, you can really think about the high school, but I don't want to make it that deep. If you're a college quarterback, you really got to think in terms of being a CEO of a company because you're running an organization. They're paying you upwards of $30 to $50 million, and probably is going to go up soon after that. So I wish that I can mold my son to be a quarterback because, you know, the quarterback doesn't get touched as much. Maybe in college he does, but in the NFL they don't try to kill him anymore. Let's go to the quarterback for Ohio State. What is your thought process? Because a lot of people thought he was pretty good too, but then he's got some faults just like everybody else does.
Yeah. Well, CJ Stroud scares me. He really scares me because I don't have any confidence in his ability to run an offense that I can as a high draft pick. I think he's one of those kids that has to come into a team that has a veteran already there, like the Love kid. Yep. He has to be in that position where you're back behind Aaron Rodgers and you can watch what a professional does to get ready week in and week out. I don't think he's ready to come in like all of these guys that are going to get drafted in the top 10 picks. They got to come in and play. I don't know if he's in a position to come that's ready to come in and play and be effective, because I think it could be a detriment if they ask him to come in and play right away. Look at what happened to the kid from Chicago when they had him come in and play, and now they want to get rid of him. Everybody's on the fence. Well, is Chicago going to pick another quarterback this year because they don't have a belief in the Fields kid? So you look at CJ Stroud. There's a lot of red flags that I see. He's shaky from an accuracy standpoint. I can't trust him in the pocket all the time. I just wonder if he truly grasps the game the way he needs to be an effective NFL quarterback.
Well, see, it's about your improvement from year to year and week to week. And I didn't see him improve a lot. And my thing is that some of his decision making, you really got to kind of, look at and see what's he thinking. And see, I've always thought, and we've talked about it before, the quarterback, you take what the defense gives you, because the defense is always going to have, somebody that's open somewhere. Even if it's a dump off to the back or the tight end, you take what, and you if it's no good, you throw it away. So I look at decision making, but I kind of, it's kind of weird because quarterbacks in the old days, they would always sit behind some veteran. Now they don't do that. They want them to be ready from day one. And that's the scary part, just to want to depend on a rookie guy. Because even Mahomes of Kansas City sat on the bench a whole year and studied the quarterback that started for them. I forgot his name. He went to Washington after that. He broke his leg. And so I think that helped him tremendously to sit on the bench for a whole year. I wouldn't mind it, but now with the money that they're making, they don't have time for them to kind of digest things. And I think you've got to be able to have a system where the quarterback can learn from other people other than the coaching staff.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And like I said, if Love comes back and have a great year and has a great year for Green Bay, I think that's really should be the model of how to bring a young quarterback up and in to the game, especially if they're not a Joe Burrow or even a Bryce Young, because I think Bryce Young has the potential. He has the it factor that can come in and command the respect of the team and to be that leader that you need to be a starting quarterback. This other kid, which is now just cropped up on the scene and has been flying under the radar for some people, if you haven't watched Florida football, is Anthony Richardson, right? I think he's one of these guys. He's in that CJ Stroud category, but would be a very good pickup if he doesn't have to play right away. Have you been able to watch a little bit about on Anthony Richardson?
I've watched four or five games. Best quarterback athlete in the draft. Mm-hmm. He has got quickness. He's got speed. He's strong. I think he's about 6'3", 6'4", somewhere in there, and he's tall. But his problem is that he hasn't played enough to get comfortable. He's got to sit on the bench if he's going to be the best quarterback on your team. He's going to have to learn for at least a year, I would say, because he's raw. But that's the kind of person that I think the NFL needs now, guys that have agility, mobility, height, can see over the defense, and strong arm. He's got that. People question a little bit his accuracy, but I think if you're a team that can afford to allow him to sit on the bench and learn, I think you're going to have somebody down the line. But the only problem is the NFL teams they want everything done in 1 year. They used to be you give them 3 or 4 years to make adjustments and turn your team around. But nowadays, people do it in 1 year. And I think that's kind of a false thing for other teams because it usually takes a couple of years to do things. But Brian Daboll comes in here, turns the Giants around in 1 year, and they go to the playoffs. So that's the example right there.
I totally agree with you. I'm on the same page. This kid has some great ability. He's one of those guys that you pick and stash away. He would be a steal at number three and a third round pick as a third round pick if he's still there. The kid showed some moxie. He's big enough. He can see over the line of scrimmage. He's mobile enough. He's Josh Allen-esque, because Josh Allen is big. He was mobile. He wasn't tremendously accurate his first couple of years, but he did enough to keep the play alive. And I think that's the type of guy and type of system. And guess what? Brian Daboll put him in the Brian Daboll system, you know, because I love Daniel Jones, but if you can pick up a guy that can sit and you can stash somebody behind and Daniel Jones is a bust, right? You got somebody right there that can back him up and do the thing that, I mean, we need to do, because you do need a backup. And nowadays, you saw Daniel Jones couldn't stay healthy. He's a mobile quarterback. You need a backup quarterback. And why not? If this kid is not getting drafted in the first round, which I think he'll be drafted in the first three rounds, but if he's around, I mean, why not? The kid could be a steal of the draft. And I'm excited for anybody that takes this kid that allows him, like you said, allows him to sit on the bench, learn the position, learn how to be a professional quarterback, and has the potential to do the things that he needs to do. Hold your thought there, BT. We got to go to a break, but you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Show Me The Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We will be right back. As always, our fourth quarter is dedicated to the world of the NBA and our Knicks and Nets, and seeing how they are shaking out and how our teams are playing in the upcoming season. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Expressway. We have almost concluded a jam-packed show. We've been through three quarters talking about the Giants and all of the prospects in this upcoming year's draft. Got one more segment, the fourth quarter. We always, because we're both basketball fans, we always touch on the basketball. Not a lot going on with the Knicks and Nets. Nets are finally coming back to reality. They haven't been playing very well. I think they've lost their last two games. Knicks are still flying high. That's a dangerous team. The Knicks are a dangerous team. I still don't think they can beat the top three teams that they'll have to play, the Sixers, Bucks, or the Celtics. It's just a tough haul. I don't know if they'll get out of the first round this year, but Jalen Brunson scored 50 points. The last player to score 50 points was Carmelo Anthony. Come on now. That's been a long time. What's going on with my Knicks?
Yeah, but I like Brunson. I really, really do. I think the moment he got traded from the Mavericks to the Knicks, he's been the guy who's really got everybody involved. I can't understand why they hadn't brought in a great point guard in the previous things, because you see what it did. The Asian kid they brought in a long time ago. Jeremy Lin. Yeah. He did a good job, but then he didn't get along with Carmelo Anthony. And the shame is that the point guard is kind of a different position, because you got to be able to get everybody involved. And that's what he does. Plus, he scores. If someone's hot, he gets them the ball a couple times. And I like that. So I think the Knicks have a chance, but I don't think they have a chance for the championship. But what it does, when the Knicks play well, it seems like it helps the whole NBA. Everybody kind of takes a look around. And when you play a game at the Garden, I've been to other places, and the Garden is the best place to play basketball. It is the mecca for basketball. So when the Knicks are playing well, I guarantee people tune in. So I don't know what's going to happen, but they're playing better now than they have in probably the last 10 years. And I see Julius Randle playing well. I see a lot of players who are playing their role, and they're playing defense. And I think the coach, only thing I worry about is that he wears people out. And so at the end of the season, you don't need to practice as hard, but I already still having those hard practices. He's, you know, keeping guys playing long minutes, and that's going to wear you out if you continue that on into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Knicks, I would be remorse to say My condolences go out to the Knick family. Willis Reed passed away. Yeah. And so just want to send a shout out to all of the Knicks family, praying for them. But big cap, he made a name for himself. It was the Willis Reed Madison Square Garden, right? And he kind of set the tone for when you get hurt, you better come back out there and win the game. And it's like, and I mean, that's what Jordan did. I'm playing when I'm sick, looking bad. Oh, I'm dying. And he scored 50 points, right? And so Willis Reed was the king. He the one that started. Like, look, I'm playing hurt and it's still balling. So, and I mean, he ran the garden, and I think he will be missed. And I just wanted to say that.
And I totally agree with you. I met him a bunch of times. He went to Grambling University. My aunt was the librarian at Grambling, so I met him many, many times. He's a class gentleman. I watched that game on tape. I was still a little bit too young to watch it live, but I watched it on tape when he came out. He limped out about maybe 5 minutes before the game starts. They gave him a standing ovation in Madison Square Garden because he was out there. And the only thing that I was questioned is Will Chamberlain was playing with the Lakers, and he was the guy guarding him. He gave him room to shoot the first couple shots of the game, and Reed made the first couple shots of the game in the garden. They went crazy. And the thing about it, the fans stood up, and that little momentum, he didn't score many points. He might have got 8 points that game and took him out of the game, but he set the tone, and then Walt Frazier took over. And so I think Willis Reed is one of the greatest Knicks to ever play in the NBA. I think their team back then was totally a great example of team ball. And I am really proud that I have known Willis Reed for this many years.
Absolutely. We lost a legend. So now let's turn our attention to the Western Conference. Now you're talking about the NBA's playoff system, and you got 8 teams vying for 12 teams vying for 8 spots. Now, that's what the NBA wanted when they came up with the play-in system, because you could be number 3 one week, and you could be out of the play-in game the next week if you lose 3 or 4 games in a row. And I think in the West, really, what teams in the West do you think can come out? Because Denver really hasn't had – been blowing the doors off. They've lost a few games in a row these past couple of weeks. What team stands out that can come out the West in your mind outside of Denver?
Well, see, I think Phoenix, if they get Durant back within the next couple of weeks before the end of the season, I think there's only 8 games left somewhere in there. If they get him back before the season ends, I think Phoenix will be the team because Booker's playing well. I think they got a great coach. And so that I think that's what depends on. I don't have faith in Denver at all. I want the Lakers to get LeBron back, because if the Lakers can get in there with Anthony Davis playing the way he is and the new guys that they brought in, they really are a fun team to watch. I've seen them 5 or 6 times. I've seen them without LeBron and win with Anthony Davis. But then when they lose a game, that brings them back. I mean, they're like 11, 12 games out, and they got to be able to get up to at least the 6th or 7th spot. Because I don't want them to play in the play-in game, because that's just a waste of time. Right. Whoever plays in that game has no chance to win the championship.
Right. Yeah, and I think one of the biggest moves they could have ever made is bring D'Angelo Russell back, because I think he's changed. Like you said, he's not a typical point guard because he likes to score, right? But he is maturing enough where he knows that you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I shouldn't be taking 40 shots a game. And so I think he's a little bit mature, and he's probably been one of the main catalysts in them having this kind of streak, this win streak that they have, where they've been winning the games and have become relevant and more of the Lake show per se now than they were previously when they had Russell Westbrook.
Well, see, I think they got a good coach in Darvin Ham. I watched him as a player. He was tough. He was mean. He was nasty. And I think he brought that to the Lakers, because as soon as he got there, they started playing well. The problem is injuries. You know, LeBron's getting old. He's in his 18th year in the NBA, 18th or 19th year. And this is the last couple of years he's been hurt. And that's what happens when guys get a little older. And he does a tremendous job of taking care of himself. So I think if he comes back, then they're going to really be a team that you have to deal with. I'm telling you, because it's going to be fun. But there's other teams in the West that I think have a chance to win the championship. But I'm going to go with Phoenix. Denver's got to show me something as we come down the stretch. Who else do you think has a chance to win the championship?
I think you can't. I mean, if John Morant comes back, you got to put Memphis in the mix. They do play a tough defensive style of brand of basketball. So I think those are the only three teams that I think right now. And Dallas, you got to put Dallas just because Kyrie and Luka, if they can have that scoring prowess that they have, it's hard to stop them. They've shown that. But before we go, I know we're running up against the time. My MVP race. Guess who took over the MVP race? Joel Embiid. Right? That's my guy from the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, it hasn't been done for like 50 years. How many guys have scored 30 points in 10 consecutive games? So,
what? And I think this year he deserves the MVP. He said he deserved it last year, but this year he's making sure they do that. You've been listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on it each and every week talking about the world of sports. We always end with the NBA because that's our exciting thing. We're ex-football players who wish we played in the NBA. And we'll talk to you again next week. I got to thank Ben back in the studio, making us sound good. And for Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and thanks for joining us.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.